Hey, it's a week six NFL review and a Monday night preview with the Bears and Commanders plus the Bills and Falcons. I am Aaron Schatz, the DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He is Mike Tenier. His Substack is miketenier.substack.com. And this is the Schatz and Tenier NFL podcast from FTN Fantasy for Monday, October 13th, 2025. Show is sponsored by our friends at Underdog. If your fantasy team is decimated by injuries like the 49ers and Bucks, Underdog is a great way to get back in the game. Unfortunately, the 49ers can't use Underdog to pick new defensive players. Make picks using all the things you learned from us on the show. Sweat the games and then win cash when your picks hit. New customers can play $5 and get up to $100 in bonus funds or entries when they use the promo code FTN to sign up. Terms apply, and as always, please play responsibly. And of course, if you are watching or listening to us live at 11 a.m., which we do 11 a.m. Eastern on Mondays and Thursdays, you can make comments and ask questions. We'll get to the Bears and their interesting run blocking statistics a little later.
Oh, wow.
Let's talk about yesterday's games. I hear you had quite a good day of wagering.
Good, but not as good as it could have been. Now, I've been on this podcast for years talking about how when the backup quarterback makes his first start for the team, you should bet on it. The cover sauce capabilities are extremely high. We had two of them this week, and they both covered. Jacoby Brissett covers against the Colts. That was a 9.5-point spread. And Joe Flacco, yeah, it still counts because it's his first start with the Bengals, covers the 14.5-point spread in very backdoor covery fashion against the Packers. Here's the thing. I only played one of those games, the Flacco game, and I didn't, like, broadcast. I didn't make a big deal out of my system on the other games. And there's one more. You remember I was talking about the weather in Baltimore on Thursday, right, Aaron?
Yes.
I was worried about the rain. Well, there was no rain, but there was a lot of wind. It was a very windy day. I walked into the bar and I told the bartender, play the under today. Play the under in Rams versus Ravens. But did I tweet it, blue sky it? No. Did I make a big deal out of it to all of my dozens and dozens of followers so I look like a genius? No. Did I play it myself? No. Physician, heal thyself. So it was a great weekend for all of my systems, and all I got was one measly backdoor cover out.
Yeah, but I like the Bengals this week, too. I thought that line was a little absurd.
14.5 against the Packers, who can't get out of their own way offensively? Come on.
Which is what actually happened in that game, but they won. Yes. So, you know. Speaking of the Packers beat the Lions at home. And I was looking last night on the internet, and apparently if you beat the Lions at home, you are going to the Super Bowl. Because people last night were like, oh, the Chiefs are back. They're going to the Super Bowl again. And the Chiefs looked very, very good. Like, the Chiefs are definitely a top five team. In fact, sure. I will tell you that in Dave, which incorporates both our preseason priors and our in-season knowledge, the top two teams are now Detroit and Kansas City. But I wouldn't necessarily, you know, they're not 100% to go to the Super Bowl just because they won one good game. Mm-hmm. But they did heal all the stuff that went wrong against Jacksonville. There were no penalties. There was the offense worked great. The defense worked. Like, everything worked. Like, that was Chiefs football as it should be.
Right. It's part, okay, you beat the Lions, who are a great team. And it's part, you're the Chiefs in the first place. So the two Lions losses were, here's the Packers with Micah Parsons just, you know, fresh out of the box, you know, new Parsons smell, everything else like that. So we overreact there. In this case, we're just sort of reacting, right?
It's we said this, I think, last week or the week before. Like, the fact that people were overstating the Chiefs' problems after the first couple of losses, we knew they were getting offensive players back.
Right.
Like, yes, the defense has some questions, and I think it still does after last night. But we knew Xavier Worthy was coming back. Now we know Rashee Rice is coming back next week. The Chiefs are very high in offense. I think they're like number two or number three now in offense. They look great on offense. Why did we question this team? I didn't really question this team. You know, they lost a couple games, but people were questioning this team, and it didn't make any sense. That being said, The Lions are down like five of their six corners or something. Like their three corners are gone. Rakestraw is out for the year. Arnold looks like he'll be back around week 9 or 10, and Reed around week 10 or 11. So they are getting guys back, but they couldn't cover. And they like to play man. And we talked on the show on Thursday about Mahomes being much better against zone than against man. And they were playing zone because of the quality of their corners. And Mahomes just diced it up.
Bip, bip, bip. We're also back to the entire pass rush is either blitzing or Aiden Hutchinson. Aiden Hutchinson can't do it all by himself, especially when he's got third and fourth string cornerbacks.
I have no idea how they didn't bring Za'Darius Smith back.
How they're not like maybe the deadline's still upcoming. Maybe they're making a deal. The sitting on their hands element of this seems ridiculous. Just seems ridiculous at this point. By the way, that moment where Kirby Joseph got hurt.
Yes.
And I was like, oh God, this is it. And then like he came storming out of the locker room ready to play again. So they dodged a bullet there. But we saw this with the Lions last year where they kept running out of guys, but they kept getting it done. It feels different this year. I don't think their offense is strong enough to just control the games. And I don't think that, you know, they have enough at this point to sustain this on defense.
On the other hand, the difference this year is that some of these guys should be back.
That's true.
Right. Last year, they kept losing guys. And by the time they lost them in week 9 or 10, there wasn't time for them to come back. This year, they're going to supposed to get these cornerbacks, not some of the defensive linemen like Arruzarike, messing up his name, are not coming back. But the cornerbacks are coming back. Frazier Lamont wants to know, who are the updated Super Bowl favorites by our projections? Hi, meet them right here. Our updated Super Bowl favorites are the Bills and the Lions with the Chiefs third.
Wow.
The Chiefs, I mean, the Bills are the favorite because they're 4-1 and they are more likely to get the number one seed. But the Chiefs are up to 10.5% of Super Bowl wins in the Sims. They pass the Bills and Dave.
Okay.
We'll see what happens tonight. But right now, before tonight's game, the Bills are now third and the Chiefs are second in Dave. They're at 45% to win the division, with the Broncos at 28 and the Chargers at 26, and the Raiders at 1 when a meteor hits the Earth.
When Max Crosby finds a cloning vat.
The Lions, by the way, are at 15.4% to win the Super Bowl, just behind the Bills, and they are at 58% to win their division.
Round up the usual suspects. Who's in fourth?
The Rams are fourth and Seattle is fifth.
That's reasonable.
In the Super Bowl odds. In Dave right now, it goes Detroit, Kansas City, Buffalo, Seattle, and Rams.
That's fair, especially the way the Seahawks are playing. We'll get to that in a minute, though, I think.
The other thing I want to talk about was the fourth down drop by Amon-Ra St. Brown, because this is this keeps happening to the Lions where they go for it on fourth down and there's a drop. I do have to point out that while Amon-Ra doesn't drop many passes, I think this was his first drop by the FTN charting since week 15 of last year.
Okay.
You do have to incorporate the possibility of a drop when you think of the odds of going for it on fourth down, right? Yeah. One of the reasons fourth down plays sometimes don't work is sometimes they are drawn up well, and the receiver drops the ball. So it's not like you can't constantly write off the fourth down failures that the Lions have with the receiver dropped the ball. You just have to accept that sometimes there's going to be a failure because the receiver drops the ball.
And we're now drawing dotted lines across 2 years. We're going back 2 years to those drops against the 49ers in the championship game. We're going to, you know, so calendar year 2024, season year 2023. They just looked so similar, didn't they? It was like a flashback.
Before we move on to discussing the Seattle Seahawks, I'm going to let you revisit hell. E-Dog the Big Dog says, if the season keeps going this way, I would call Kevin Petullo the worst offensive coordinator in NFL history. No offensive coordinator has ever had this much talent to work with and not used any of it correctly. I do want to point out about the Eagles, what I pointed out in the preseason. The Eagles' offense in the regular season last year was not great.
Right.
It was good. Mm-hmm. We were having conversations about what was wrong with their passing game in like week 15 of last year. Like, it was not like they were the number one passing game all year. So for them to once again be like the 10th or 11th best passing game is not a shock. It's the running game having some problems that's a problem.
Right. I do think Petillo is certainly not getting the job done. But one of the obvious problems right now is when you ask any of the superstars what's going on, they'll say, I talked to the other superstars about it. Then when you ask the next superstar, I'll say, I didn't talk to anybody about it. They are not communicating at some sort of like emotional level. They're unregulated. And it's not help that Eagles fans, myself included, have like this 2023 on the brain thing, where every time something goes wrong, this is exactly like December of 2023. This is exactly like all 2024.
Yeah, I don't know how we avoided that last year, because last year I kept waiting for us to go back to that, but it didn't happen. Now all of a sudden we're going back to that.
We're going back to that. And of course, a loss to the Giants, because there was a loss to the Giants in that run of games. Again, like the fourth down drop, it kind of brings it back there. But this is a mini bye. These guys have shown in the past that they can come together when they have to. I have no idea with Petullo. I would love to hear that, like, you know, Mike McDaniel got fired and that the Howie Roseman just showed up in a blimp and took him away or something like that to be like a consultant. Have to see what happens. This is too much talent to be as bad as it looked the last couple games offensively.
Speaking of 4-2 teams that are playing a lot better, the Seattle Seahawks are number one in DVOA again this week.
Wow.
The Seattle Seahawks, despite the fact that their secondary is missing Devin Witherspoon, Reek Woolen, and Julian Love, beat the Jaguars fairly easily.
Yes.
Because the Jaguars self-immolated.
They're hilarious.
As the Jaguars are wont to do. And he did. Mike pointed out in his Two Deep Zone this morning, he has given up on Trevor Lawrence.
I've given up on Trevor Lawrence. I saw all the things everyone else saw. I'm not saying he's terrible or anything like that. How many overthrows are you going to see on deep passes where he's got the guy by a step and he throws it four steps? Watch how many times it looks like he's throwing like a sweeper pitch to a guy on an out route where it just keeps tailing out of bounds. And I can't say, well, this is obviously Brian Thomas's fault or obviously Travis Hunter's fault, unless he lined up off sides or whoever or scheme. Lawrence isn't accurate. It's a timing thing, or it's a mechanical thing or something, but it has been persistent when he's been healthy now this season, big chunks of last season, and really for most of his career.
The Seahawks, number one in DVOA, are fourth on offense, fourth on defense, and second in special teams.
Yes.
They are the second best 4-2 team in DVOA history.
Wow.
Behind the 2015 Arizona Cardinals.
No memory of the 2015 Arizona Cardinals. That was
Carson Palmer, and they lost to Carolina in the NFC Championship game.
Okay, they kind of got old fast and ran into Cam Newton when he was on fire. Okay.
Here are the other teams that have been top five in all three phases through six games. Mm-hmm. The 1980 Cocaine Eagles.
80 Eagles made it to the Super Bowl, though. They were they were on the – yeah, they weren't totally snowblind yet. Okay.
The 85 Bears.
We remember
that. 1990 Giants.
That's a Parcells Taylor.
Super Bowl and the Super Bowl. The 95 Raiders, who went 8-8 and missed the playoffs.
That had to be Al Davis
fighting after the first few games.
Al Davis fighting with Marcus Allen. That's got to be what that was.
96 Packers. Mm-hmm. 99 Rams.
I've heard of them.
And the 2022 Bills.
That's good company.
That is good company for the Seahawks. Fraser Lamont wants to know how the Seattle offense ranks on rushing and passing by DVOA. They are currently first passing and 21st rushing.
Odd.
And yet we're going to get to another split like that in a second. That's also huge. Mm-hmm. But Darnold has been amazing. I mean, I think we've talked about it when Kevin Cole and Ben Baldwin each have a adjusted EPA that uses the FTN charting. Mm-hmm. To mark up things like drops and who had the responsibility of a sack and et cetera. And they have Darnold as the number one quarterback this year going into this week. And I don't think that he would have, I'm sure he was still the number one quarterback going into this week.
Great complimentary football. I think is what I see. Darnold is playing well. The run is helping the passing game in some way. Defense, unbelievably stingy. Front four getting it done without blitzing. Special teams helping out in all phases. Just strong. And they're fun to watch. They're fun to watch because you're not seeing this team beat themselves and go out there and have this overdramatic thing. You know, they sustain their drives. They prevent drives on the other side. It's a good team.
And obviously, when I say Darnold is the number one quarterback in these stats, the one adjustment that these stats don't have is, oh, my God, the entire rest of my offense is injured and I'm using my fifth and sixth receivers.
For Baker Mayfield.
That adjustment is not there.
Right.
Seahawks are now win the Super Bowl 8.4% of Sims. Sure. They win the division 43% of the time, the Rams 40%, and the 49ers 16%.
Remarkable. And
well, so, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how, if I'm adjusting enough for Warner.
No,
the Warner injury is interesting because I've written about when I do personnel changes from season to season, off ball linebackers do not move the needle.
Right.
They do not predict how your defense will play. But Fred Warner is the best one in the league.
Best one in the league, has been for years. Also a heart and soul guy. Also a guy who is probably helping them keep it together after Bosa left and probably helping keep the locker room together for all this. So it is sort of incalculable.
You wrote on the Blue Sky yesterday that Drake May is a poor man's Jackson Dart.
You're coming after me for this? I said I was trolling.
All right. Okay. First of all, Jackson Dart did look good the other night. And I'm like, he's got problems.
Yeah, it's fine.
Drake May has been outstanding. Listen to the splits for the Patriots. Third passing. 30th rushing. Yeah. 29th on defense.
Wow.
It's all Drake May.
It's all Drake May. And with the exception of Bills, the puppy party schedule.
And with the puppy party schedule, yes. Their schedule now looks harder than it did a week ago, but it's still one of the three easiest. It projects to be one of the three easiest we've ever measured, yes.
And you got the Browns coming up and the Vanderbilt?
Browns and Titans are the next 2 weeks.
Vanderbilt. Okay. So, and just to defend myself, I was watching Sunday Night Football last night, and during halftime, they put a statistic out there that said, Drake May is only the third quarterback under age 24 to record over 200 passing yards and a quarterback rating over 100 in five consecutive games. And you know what I did? I died a little inside when I heard that. I mean, he's playing very, very well. It's extremely encouraging. But the effort to manufacture the whole Josh Allen thing, did you hear what I just said?
It is one of those stats where it sounds like they found where the arbitrary lines were where the arbitrary lines are.
200 age, and they still found three guys. Like, they still found three guys. So when you hear me trolling and everything like that, I'm just pulling on the air brake here, just pulling on the air brake a little bit. I see it too. The guy's really developing in a very encouraging way.
Fraser Lamont says, I respect analytics, but it seems strange to me how low the value in linebackers is thought to be when so many good defenses in recent years have been built around great linebackers. I will say that I think everyone agrees now that the pass coverage skills of your off-ball linebackers matter more than the run-stopping skills of your off-ball linebackers.
Right.
And it's true. I mean, Roquan last year for the Ravens and, like, Fred Warner and these, the guys who do stand out, I think it's more almost like running backs where most of them don't move the needle, but the few that do really matter.
Right.
And Warner is one of them. Absolutely.
Right. I don't think when you look at these teams like, oh, they are built around that linebacker. So that linebacker was a value added guy. The Seahawks were not built around Bobby Wagner. They were built around their secondary. And they had a great pass rush. And Bobby Wagner was this, like, force multiplier. I think that's what Warner is. I think that's what these linebackers often are.
The review of reverse post-game win expectancy games that we do every week, there were none.
Okay.
The closest was the Panthers.
Okay, yeah.
At 76%.
When did Rico Dowdle become Alexander the Great?
As soon as I picked him up on one of my fantasy teams,
that's it.
I won the waivers for Rico Dowdle last week.
Yay.
In the multi-league, which is the crazy league I do with my college friends where we own teams in three different sports, and whoever wins does the best over all three sports wins.
Uh-huh.
I picked up Rico Dowdle for my football team, and he has been amazing because he has played the two worst defenses in the league.
Yes, yes. But 200 total yards a week is still pretty impressive. That game was a little fluky. It looked like the Cowboys were going to pull away at the end, and then they just got weird. I thought that the Colts-Cardinals might have been a reverse post-game.
Nope. Didn't. Came out, hold on a second, and I will tell you.
Probably certainly close.
It came out as 85%.
Yeah.
Because the Colts were much better running the ball. Taylor is the best running back in the league by DYAR so far this year. They were a little bit better passing the ball, and they had fewer penalties.
That makes sense. And by the end of the game, it looked like the Colts, if they played like 15 more minutes, were going to win by three touchdowns. The Cardinals were out.
The linebacker discussion that's going on in the comments is sort of interesting because the number one defense right now, we'll get to in a little bit here, is Atlanta. And they're not – I mean, I realize that that's only four games, but they're not really known for their inside linebackers. So, you know, some teams are and some teams aren't.
Right.
Here is the DVOA top 12, but we'll do the top 13.
Okay.
Because I wanted to point out that Tampa Bay is up to 13th. Right? They were one of the lowest 4-1 teams. They're not one of the lowest 5-1 teams. They had a good win this week over San Francisco.
It's still shocking that they're 13th. Special teams is a chunk of that, though, right?
Yeah, but also that they're just, it's all close wins until this week.
All close wins. Against good opponents, though.
Yes. Atlanta, 12th. There's going to be a lot of change, by the way, in the top 12 after tonight.
Tomorrow morning, yes.
Yeah. Atlanta, 12. Denver, 11.
That was a game. That certainly was a football game.
Buffalo, 10.
Let's see. We'll see.
Pittsburgh, up five spots to number 9. Do we have to start taking this seriously? Because their defense did not regress quite as much as I would have expected, and Rodgers is playing kind of okay.
Kind of okay. They're settling for field goals. They're on the silly time schedule, too. They catch the Browns after the one-week bump of Dylan Gabriel. But DK Metcalf's playing well. Nate Herbig's playing well. Defense is playing well. Chris Boswell's playing well. It's an established formula. I don't know how seriously to take them. They're going to be a playoff team.
Houston, 8th, still riding all that one Ravens victory.
Yes, bye week, too.
Green Bay, 7th.
They're good. Really good.
Kansas City, 6th.
Okay.
Say they were 6th last week, but they're up. They're like up like 4 points, but they're still 6th.
Even more 6th. Awesome. Yes.
Detroit, down 4 spots to number 5.
Wow. Defense didn't play well.
The Washington Commanders, despite 2 games with a backup quarterback, are 4th.
Remarkable.
We will see what happens tonight.
Yes.
Rams, 3rd.
That wasn't a great win yesterday, but it was a win on the road in the wind, so okay.
Colts, 2.
Yeah, they're playing very well.
And the Seahawks, again, are number 1.
That's what we all expected.
As we all expected before the season.
The moment they brought in Sam Darnold and Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Cooper Kupp, we said...
Yeah, and the corpse of Cooper Kupp, we said, this team is going to be number 1. There's no question about the Seattle Seahawks. Yes.
The corpse of Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who goes over to San Francisco, and the literal corpse of Juwan Jennings rises from the grave, crawls out there and says, activate me, coach, and he's the one who goes in the game.
Yeah, I don't know which is weird, like Kendrick Bourne having 140 yards, or Tampa Bay has 12 guys named Johnson, and now they're all playing.
One of the Johnsons is just 3 of the other Johnsons in a trench coat.
Monday Night Football. So we have another one of these doubleheader. We'll get to the Commanders question in a second here. Let's start with the 7 o'clock game, which is the Bills and Falcons. 4-1 Bills at the 2-2 Falcons. The Atlanta is first in defensive DVOA. It does seem like that's not likely to continue. It is only 4 games.
Yeah.
They're only 23rd in ESPN's pass rush win rate. And I'll point out that the Bills defense is number one in ESPN's pass block win rate.
Yes.
The Atlanta defense is first against the pass and eighth against the run. The Buffalo offense is eighth against the pass, is eighth passing and first running. So it's kind of opposite.
So much of that Falcons defense is J.J. McCarthy waddling around out there, sort of injured, sort of unprepared. And that game is a big part of what's in the Falcons' data right now.
Andrew Daly says, will the Falcons' run offense shred the Bills' struggling run defense? The Bills currently dead last in run defense DVOA.
Wow.
But first in against running backs as receivers. So it's a big Bijan game, but not necessarily a big Bijan game in PPR.
You know what I'm looking up right now? It's Ed Oliver's status. He's set for return tonight. That's going to be a difference. Milano is back. I would think that they're not going to be the 32nd best run defense tonight, although I'd probably take Bijan props and things.
Atlanta, by the way, allows only 14 yards a game so far this year to tight ends.
Okay.
And they are weak against passes in the middle of the field, but not to tight ends.
They're weak against passes in the middle of the field, even though J.J. McCarthy only throws to the – I don't know. Four games, folks.
Yeah, it's only four games.
Yeah.
Falcons defense is weaker on third and fourth down.
Okay.
And the Bills offense is very good on third and fourth down.
Okay.
And Fraser Mott suggests it's going to be a Khalil Shakir game. Speaking of passes in the middle of the field. Yes, mesh.
Mesh, and those little screens they dump to him, too.
And yes, the Falcons do have 15 days to prepare.
I don't know what that
they
means.
They had the bye week last week, and this is a Monday nighter.
Right.
I mean, the line is Bills minus four.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm stuck on my preseason priors, but I'm just not a Falcons believer. And I'm riding the Bills. You know, the Bills were my Super Bowl pick. I'm riding the Bills bandwagon all year. And mm-hmm. I like the Bills minus four, even on the road.
I never bet the Falcons. I like the Bills minus four. I think that they're just the better team.
Fraser Lamont says, do the Commanders have a significant difference in offensive DVOA between Daniels and Mariota? I'm aware it's a very limited sample size. The answer is no. Mariota was pretty good in the two games that he played. And so the Commanders are 3-2.
Also, the sample size has all sorts of, is Terry McLaurin in or out in it? It was Noah Brown's health. By the way, McLaurin out tonight, Brown out tonight. Debo, it sounds like a game-time decision. He hasn't been practicing, but they've been, you know, it's a foot injury. They've been trying to work on it. I'm guessing he plays. That's a big factor when you look at things like this.
Bears 2-2, Commanders 3-2. Now, this was the incredible stat that I found at ESPN. The Bears are number one in run block win rate.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Yet
they are 32nd in run offense DVOA.
Poor DeAndre Swift.
How bad do you have to be? Dahlman is something like third or fourth in run block win rate among the interior linemen. Tooney is like sixth.
Right.
And Swift can't get anything.
If it ain't blocked up, he doesn't get it. And yet it seems like you should just be able to grab a guy.
And Commanders are fifth against the run.
That's going to be a problem. You want to exploit the Commanders deep along the sidelines. You want to get after their cornerbacks. I don't know where Caleb Williams and his progression of being able to do that is. And that's not necessarily the staple of Ben Johnson's offense.
Yes. Washington's defense is run stopping and pass rush. I realize they don't have named pass rushers, but they have a very strong pass rush. They are sixth in pass rush win rate. Mm-hmm. But if you look at passes against them, they are fourth against passes up the middle, 31st and 29th against passes to the sides.
Yes, go after them up the sidelines. That's not their thing. Remember, the Commanders also faced the Chargers with their revolving door tackles, and all hell broke loose when they went to the third string tackle. That's helped juice them a little.
That helps the run defense. Fraser Lamont says, are the Commanders not quite average at corner? Well, I continue to swear that Lattimore was very good in the first half of last year before he got injured, but clearly he's had problems this year, and Saints drill is all right. Yes, Trey Amos is a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
They're letting a lot of stuff go outside.
Right, right. There's places you can pick on them out there. I had another thought, but it's gone now.
The Bears are number one against number one wide receivers, although I don't know who is the number one wide receiver if there's no Terry McLaurin. I
guess it's Debo. But
like they're 31st against running backs as receivers.
I don't know who. I don't know who's healthy at running back.
Bill Crosby Merritt.
Bill is healthy because everyone else is hurt. Rodriguez is hurt. Robinson got traded. Here's the garbage panda. Now you know the garbage panda is not staying up late tonight. But give me 1 second here to load this stat. I'm not going to be able to find it in time. The Commanders have been outscored in the first quarter, something like 31-10. The Bears have outscored their opponents in the first quarter, 31-24. The early game Ben Johnson script usually working very well. Taking the money line, first quarter money line for the Bears, I believe it was around 130. Taking it, predicting the Bears to be leading at the end of the first quarter, taking that, going to bed with it.
Both defenses are way better after halftime.
Yes.
Usually these are splits that do not actually predict anything, but it's fun to talk about.
It's fun to talk about when you got a guy like Caleb Williams who you start worrying about after the initial play script.
Yes.
You can say any other
offense. I think it matters. On offense, you have the play script, right? Defense is it's just randomness.
Right, right. You say, they adjusted. A lot of times that's an ad hoc hypothesis.
The Commanders are favored by 4.5. The system really likes the Commanders. I do wonder if Debo doesn't play, if the Bears keep this close.
Oh, if Debo doesn't play, I think I'd watch out for the Bears upset there. I don't know who the ball goes to. Jalen Lane and...
I mean, the big thing is the other side of the ball, because the Commanders have been surprisingly reasonable on defense this year.
Right.
Except the outside throws. That's the one weakness of the Commanders' defense this year. Can Caleb Williams hit those outside throws?
Well, who knows? Maybe he can do that thing where he scrambles to the sideline and just fires it up the sideline, which is one of his favorite things. I'm going, after the first quarter, I'm going Commanders, but watch out. Check local listings for the Debo injury.
Andrew Daly says the spread is up to Commanders -5.5 now.
That means Debo's probably playing?
That probably means Debo is playing.
Debo's barber called the house and told them he came.
He got his haircut and he's ready to go.
He walked out like a jaunty way.
All right. That does it for today's show, folks. Big doubleheader tonight. So I hope everybody enjoys that. And we will be back on Thursday to preview week 7. Don't forget to use Underdog Fantasy with code FTN. Don't forget to use FTN Fantasy for all your stats needs. DVOA is all updated for this week, including the Giants-Saints game that got left out last week because of a technical issue. It is in now. So, exciting times. All right. He's Mike Tenier. I'm Aaron Schatz. We'll talk to you guys next week. So long, everybody.